not a gun.
Guns are toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Put out all points, bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new
attention.
World order.
A new world order. Attention.
Government is the problem.
It's an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers. The TV station!
Everybody!
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap! It's time for
Bats, Jellies, Jellies, Jellies!
Radio Blue!
And now for something completely different.
Where's my microphone? Is this my microphone?
Am I on yet? Yes, there I am. Found my microphone there at the last minute. I forgot I moved it out. Everybody's getting in here right on time. Minuteman just jumped out. I don't know. He was there and then he left. This is the Dutch Jones radio program coming to you live. Today is the 1st of July. The 1st of July, 2010. June is gone. We got our first donation for July. Somebody just donated $5, I think it was, today. And that was great. We've got a little more ways to go, but that's nice to have some seed money. We are right now at our regular location in just at the outskirts of Sequoia National Park in Central California. We are with the Church at Kaweah here, transmitting from their research center, and we want to thank them for that. And the things I say or do in this radio show do not necessarily reflect the opinions, policies of the Church at Kaweah, its pastors, its pew sitters, the guy who painted the church, or anything like that. It's they're mostly my opinions, but I get a lot of it from the church. We left you yesterday in good hands and woke up today, and everything seems to still be in order. Although I had a weird thing happen. In the middle of the night, I got one of those leg cramps that makes you just want to shoot your leg, and it tore my Achilles tendon. In fact, it's trying to cramp right now as I'm talking. I've been drinking lots of water today. But my left calf muscle went into a softball size knot and just wreaked havoc on my Achilles tendon. I can't even walk today. I'm hopping around on one foot, which isn't too safe to do around here because we got landmines and everything scattered around. But be praying for my leg. I'm gonna tonight when Stacy gets home, we're gonna buy a bunch of bananas and I'll load up on potassium or something. But I don't know what happened there. I hope it doesn't last too long. I hope it doesn't interfere with the Arizona trip because this thing hurts. Never happened to me before. I mean, I get the leg cramps in the middle of the night every once in a while. You know, where I wake up going, where I think, you know, I'm dreaming that some dragon's eating me alive or something. But this is the first time that it's actually done damage that went beyond just the discomfort of the cramping. It's kind of weird. So your prayers are needed in that. Oh, everybody's getting back in now. Welcome, everyone. I told you guys the Supreme Court decision about the Second Amendment was not a good thing. Even last night at church, people said it was a great thing. They thanked the Lord in prayer for it, and I tried to explain to them why it was a surrendering. Well, today Mayor Daley enacted legislation for his community of Chicago, put forth
Ray Romano. You're watching You Broadcast, and I'm a little drunk.
I hope everybody that cheered this decision is just pulling their hair out today. The Supreme Court raped the Constitution again and made people think that they were taking it to prom. You know, it wasn't even a date rape, it was a violent rape, and I'm sorry to use that analogy, but that's what the image in my head is. But Rocky Hill Rangers says they're going to push too far. I think people in Chicago are too brain dead to resist this. The people that live there are predominantly ones that are like, yeah, we don't want guns. So these ones that, more lawsuits are going to come out of this, undoubtedly. They've already stripped the rights of anyone who is on public assistance. They can't have guns. So, just another example of communism in work, how the federal government is handing the little tyrants their fiefdoms and saying, here, rule with an iron fist. Tyranny is everywhere in America today. It's not as bad. I mean, it's not like China where if they catch you with a Bible, they shoot you in the head. It's not like the Middle East where if a woman goes out in pants instead of a burqa in some countries over there, she gets buried up to her head and they stone her to death. I'm not naive that way. I know that we're not being dragged into the street and shot in the head for teaching our kids the Lord's Prayer like the Catholic Church used to do to people. I know that. I know that tyranny is not heavy now like it used to be. But I know that it can get that way in the blink of an eye, and these are the steps towards that realm. And we've got to remember that there is a biblical doctrine of resistance to tyranny, and we're going to talk about that in the second hour. I'm going to go in-depth on that. I'm going to throw some Bible verses at you, give some definitions, so get your Bible out for the second hour. But the first hour, we're going to talk a little current events and stuff. I wanted to talk about the Russian spies. Everybody's going nuts about the Russian spies. I guess there's 11 of them. One of them even had a Facebook page. He's this little hottie that everybody's like, oh, look at this Russian spy. Look at this Russian spy. They gave bail to one guy, and he left. So now they denied bail to all but one of the other ones, and that person has to go under house arrest. It's like all of a sudden they just realized there were spies here. I find it weird they actually caught a non-Israeli spying on us. I mean, Israel spies on us more than any other country, I bet. Which is weird, because I don't know why you'd want to spy on anything in America when all you have to do is find a high-ranking elected official and make a campaign contribution, and he'll leak whatever you need to him. Why go through the trouble of deep, deep undercover planning families in America that are Russian? Now, they're warning that they have such support that they're going to disappear. That Americans... One of them had, like, a Hispanic... surname. I'm trying to find it here. Vicky Palez, a U.S. citizen born in Peru, saying she did not appear to be trained as a spy, but she was involved in it. And they gave her $250,000 bail, but they're going to put an anklet on her and control her. But the rest of them are staying in. They're not going to let these Russians out. And it just seems weird to me that while we've got a Russian ship docked down in San Diego, Russian troops training somewhere in America, because nobody ever figured out where those Russian troops went from last month. And Russia's all upset, saying, oh, that's preposterous. These Russian citizens are not spies. Why are you admitting that they're Russian citizens? It's all part of a game. It's just another distraction. Their spy masters and our spy masters said, hey, we haven't been getting any funding in a while. Ooh, I had the phone off the hook. Haven't been getting any funding. We better do something with Russia. You know, everybody's getting sick and tired of seeing some guy for the Navy spying for Israel. We better mix it up a bit. So that's what it was. But kind of makes you want to shift, huh? Where's the Russian at? Is you got a Russian? We got a ton of Russians here in Central California. Refugees from before the wall fell actually came here, and they've got first and second generation American kids here now that are Russian, that speak Russian. There's a couple Russian churches between here. Sacramento's got a big Russian population. And the cool thing about the Russians is when they come here, they latch on to their freedom. At least the ones I've met. The young ones, not the old ones. The old ones are still browbeat, but I'll give them that. But the young ones, the American River College, which is, I think, the largest college in California, they protested the sodomites there and got them kicked out of student office, and they took over. The Russian Christians did. It's pretty cool. And they did away with the, they were trying to get the school to go against Proposition 8, the faggot marriage ban, and a bunch of stuff. And they're still fighting. And all the Russian kids are the ones doing it. I don't see American kids doing it. I mean, I know you're out there. But these Russian kids, when they come to our church to give a testimony, you find out how they're in the streets. Russians are good people. I don't really have a problem with them. And everybody's all upset. Oh, it's like the Cold War again. We've got spies, dude. Our allies. We probably have Canadian spies right now working in 7-Elevens trying to figure out how to get that microwave burrito to cook. Because I guess they don't have that kind of stuff in Canada. They don't even handle protests in Canada very well. We talked about that a little bit yesterday. Hey, did you, I know this has nothing to do with militia, but I got to laugh. Tiger Woods' ex-wife got $750 million. That's with a B. $750 billion. Man, boy, that's an expensive little, what did he do? Several trysts? But he paid her, and on the condition that she'd shut up and never do an interview again. Man, it's just another example of how those celebrity marriages don't work. I don't like to get into the celebrity du jour stuff, but boy, that sure sets the bar pretty high. You know, the next guy that's a celebrity or sports athlete is probably going, oh no, why'd that have to happen? Because you know how they always snowball these? They base it on the precedent. Oh, like, well, Tiger Woods, well, I don't even know her name, Inga... whatever, she's Scandinavian or something, but went back to Scandinavia with their kid and got $750 million. Wow. And she beat him. Just shows you how the system works. Obongo, talking about immigration today, and it just infuriated me. I listened to it on the radio. And he's basically saying it's impossible to deport 11 million illegal aliens. Well, they got here somehow. However they got here, send them back that way. You give them notice. You say you have 90 days to get out of the country. Anybody found here after 90 days will be violently removed. So don't give me that. If the aliens can get here, if these illegals can infiltrate and walk this far, they can turn around and walk home. So don't say it's impossible. And another thing, only 11 million? What, you trying to sneak that other 9 to 12 million that they don't want to talk about under the carpet? And he's blaming it all on politics. And what it really is, and I'm going to give you it up front so that when I read the article, you'll know where I'm coming from, and you probably guessed it. He doesn't want to anger the Latino vote in these upcoming elections so he can gain control of the House and Senate. And by the next presidential election, he's not going to do anything. He's not going to put troops on the border because he doesn't want to make Mexicans and other illegal invaders angry. Because they're not illegal aliens. As a friend up here said, they are unregistered Democrats. And that's what it is. So he's not going to do anything. So he's going to continue the rhetoric and keep blaming, you know, the Republicrats for not doing it. Now, here's the article. This is from Associated Press. This is from today. Now, it's funny. I think he was at some college, and he just whipped this out. Hoping to breathe new life into the stalled immigration effort, President Barack Hussein Obongo on Thursday blamed the delay on recalcitrant Republicans. I love that word, recalcitrant. That means steadfast, strong. Whom he said had given in to the pressures of partisanship and election year politics. Republicans responded that Obama's first step going forward must be to secure the border. In his first immigration speech, Obongo took Republicans to task, in particular 11 GOP senators who have backed attempts during the previous Republican administration to tighten, which is what we need, the immigration system. He did not call on anyone by name. Yeah, political bantering. Obongo dismissed the focus on a border security first approach, saying the system is too big to be fixed. Remember that? Too big to fail? Businesses are too big to fail, but the border is too big to be fixed. But what happened to the yes we can attitude of this monkey on a leash? He advocated a comprehensive approach that would call on the government, businesses, and illegal immigrants themselves to live up to their responsibility with the law. Isn't that typical? Let's all just get along. Everybody be nice. Come down and register. Start paying your taxes. You know. Basically, he's throwing the gates of the city open. He's, you know, more than that, he's opening every gate on the wall. He's taking the guards off the wall, and he's saying, barbarians, come on in. Now, Obama also wants to create a pathway to citizenship for the estimated, 11 million illegal immigrants in the U.S. Critics call it amnesty, but Obama said the immigrants must first acknowledge that they broke the law, pay fines and back taxes, perform community service, and learn English. Doesn't this sound like the Catholic Church? I don't care if you're a mafia hitman and you wiped out a whole family using a ball peen hammer and a spoon. As long as you say you're sorry, repent, and pay the church a little bit of money and do some community service on Sundays, you know, help run the collection plate, you're absolved of your sin. Also says they have to learn English. Yeah, but they haven't learned yet. What makes them think they're going to do it now? Without setting a timeline, Obongo questioned whether the political will exists to get a bill through Congress. See, he's blaming everybody else. He's blaming Congress right now because he doesn't want to do what's right, and they don't want to do what's wrong. Now, reform that brings accountability to our immigration system cannot pass without Republican votes, he said. That is the political and mathematical fact. In the Senate, Democrats fall short of the 60 votes needed to overcome a GOP delaying tactic. The rules change so much. I don't even understand it myself. It's, you know, some things need a simple majority, some things need a supermajority. Now, Senator Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, Republican from Kentucky, said Obongo would get the bipartisan support he wants if he would take amnesty off the table and make a real commitment to the border and interior security. Now, I'm going to read you something a little later that I got from someone who got it from a senator or a congresswoman from Arizona. They've taken the troops off the border, the Border Patrol agents, the bulk of them, 80% of them, moved them 60 miles in to do security checks on the freeway. So not only are they looking for illegal aliens, they're out there to bust you. Now, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, we all know who he is, from the scumbag from Nevada, who is in a tight re-election race and could benefit politically from enacting a broad overhaul, said he was committed to passing a bill this year. They need the Mexican votes. They need all those people on welfare to come in and vote for them, to keep their Fabian socialist system going. But an organization of Hispanic conservatives, okay, criticized the speech as a sheer political move to keep them on board for the November election. See, some of the Mexicans in America, the Americans that are of Mexican descent, not the hyphenated people, but the Americans, know what's going on. They see what this guy's selling them. Obama was elected with a strong backing from Hispanics, and they could tip the balance in several tight races this year. Now, Obongo is operating under the false assumption that Latinos are natural-born Democrats who will rally behind his policies in lockstep, said Alfonso Aguilar, executive director of the Latino Partnership for Conservative Principles. Now, Latinos must not let themselves be deceived by the soaring rhetoric that has replaced meaningful action on immigration. Now, in Arizona, which is weeks away from enacting a controversial anti-immigrant law, I like to call it an anti-immigrant law. Here's how I'm going to read it. In Arizona, which is weeks away from enacting a wise and smart border security law that Obama has called misguided, Republican Representative John Kavanaugh said he was offended by the president's speech and comments about the new state law. Yeah, you've got the so-called head of our nation up there bad-talking states' rights and blaming everything on a state that's trying to do it right. In the speech, Obongo said the law is an understandable expression of the public's frustration with the government's failure to overhaul the immigration system. No, it's not. We don't want the immigration system overhauled. We want the border shut down. We want immigration shut. We want to put a closed, come back later when we decide how many of you can come in sign, put on every port of entry. He says also that it is ill-conceived, divisive, and would put undue pressure on local police departments. Oh, great. Like all the federal mandates, like the marijuana laws, like the ridiculous gun laws, like the interstate commerce laws, don't put enough undue pressure on police. I'm telling you, he's like a two-headed serpent. The law requires police enforcing another statute to ask about a person's immigration statute if there is a reason to believe they're in the country illegally. Immigrant advocates want the Justice Department, which is reviewing the law, to sue Arizona to block it from taking effect this month. Yeah, they can sure get on the ball and do that and get the gears of vengeful legislation and court applications flying, but they can't do anything about the border. Yeah, the courts are too bogged down to be processing illegal immigrants through, but we can tie up the federal court system by suing states that do the right thing. There is nothing about this president that is good. There is nothing about this president that is just. There is nothing about this president that is biblical, which puts him in what category? The tyrant category. And he is to be resisted by everyone, especially Christians. It's your duty. Now, I'm getting a lot of atheists and anarchists that are listening to me, and they say I'm hitting the Christian thing too much. It's a Christian militia show. If you can't handle it, move on. But if you think there might be a hole in your heart that needs to be filled, keep listening. Otherwise, stop sending me the suggestions. I'm not going to leave God out of this. It's really going to be up to Capitol Hill to answer this question. And we're going to see who stands up in Congress and gives a call for action, or who just blows with the wind and wants to please Obongo. I feel like I'm reading history as it happens. Remember in school when we learned about all the different things that led up to the first war of federal aggression? All the stuff that led up to the American Revolution to throw off the chains of England on us? The same stuff. You'll see all these little laws and acts being, you know, like in the 1840s, 1850s, the 1750s, 1770s, until it got to 1776 and 1860. We're in that period right now. We're in the deadly funnel that's focusing on conflict. And there are people that are trying to put stuff together to fight it out in the courts, and I pray for them, but I don't think it's going to help. What I do think it is, it's a great delaying action to give us more time. It gives us a lot more time to prepare and do things like what you and I do here today, what we do up here at the church with the guests that come in and our regular parishioners and our militia when we train. They're lying about the jobless rates now. Remember a few months ago when they hired all those invaders to come in and ask you how many toilets you had and how many copies of Mein Kampf you had on the shelf?
Six.
We don't have six copies of Mein Kampf. I don't think we even have one, Lou. Unless you have one. You might have a comic book version of it. I don't know about you.
A comic book.
Yeah. So they put those in. Look at all the new jobs we created when they hired all those census workers. Well, the census workers all got laid off. I just lost audio in my headphone. The census workers all got dropped off. And now they're saying, well, this low, this new list of people applying for unemployment is flawed. It's not proper. It's skewed because we just laid off all those census workers. Well, how come you didn't say that when you hired them all? And you work it out. It's like all the new jobs. It's like somewhere less than 3,000 new jobs per state that they're claiming they made. You know, it's just like Al Gore, which we're going to talk about him in a minute. You know, I invented the internet. I invented space. I invented everything great. Now Obongo is claiming, you know, all this stuff. Like, yes, I'm fixing. No, the economy's great. The economy's great. It's like 51% of homes sold in California last month were foreclosures. New housing starts are like on an all-time low. People are just scooping up the torn dreams of other people. So they're lying to you about jobs. They're lying to you about the economy. The stock market's been going for the last 3 days. I don't even understand how the stock market works as a whole. But I know when everybody starts going, uh-oh, we're below this number, we're below that number. They're just trying to squeeze the last penny out of all the investors. It's just like you might as well just go to Vegas, throw all your money on black, on roulette, and just spin it as much as play the stock market. State of California, as of today, has no budget. They have, a $21 billion deficit. It's probably more because they said it goes up by, $50 million a day. And all of our state legislators are going on vacation for 30 days, and they don't have a budget. So they're going to start paying government employees federal minimum wage, which is like $7.25 an hour. So they're all out protesting. I mean, they should be lucky they have jobs, but they're out protesting because they're not getting $30 an hour. They're going to get $7.25 and then get IOUs for the rest until the budget goes through. So he's coming up with everything. Today they're proposing an increase of $1 per pack of cigarettes. Now, I'm not a smoker. I think it's a disgusting habit. But if you want to smoke, it's your right as long as you're not next to me at Denny's. And another dollar. They said they're going to be able to raise $90 to $100 million doing that. On the backs of all the smokers. What are you doing? All these smokers die of cancer and nobody's buying cigarettes. How are they going to balance their state budgets then? So, yeah, this state's falling apart, and guess who's going to bail it out? Because California is too big to fail. You guys, the rest of the, how many states did Barack Obama, the rest of you in the 56 states, we're the 57th state, are going to have to pay for us going bankrupt, belly up. And our own legislatures, folks, don't even care about it. They're going home. They're like, ho-hum. Ho-hum. I mean, every vendor, everything. Prison guards aren't going to get paid on the state level. You think it's chaotic now? And I know what they're doing. The government's doing this on purpose to make the people suffer for not voting for new taxes. You know, they're talking about legalizing marijuana up to an ounce here in California so they can regulate it and tax it, and everybody's going, woohoo, let's do it. Yeah. It's going to be exactly like alcohol. It's going to be outrageously expensive. and they're going to have people controlling it. Why do people love control? They're not going to legalize it because they don't have a problem with people using it. It's a weed. God created it. I have no problem with people using it as long as they don't abuse it. Just like if somebody eats too many carrots. You don't abuse it. I would never use it. It has medicinal purposes. I've told you that the VA wants me to use it for my glaucoma in my left eye, but I'm not going to do that. I'll just take the regular pills. Things are like a menagerie, and they're all just everywhere you look, there's just something else going on. It's like one of those psycho carnivals from a 1950s black and white version of the Twilight Zone, where the guy's walking around and the carousel's going. That's what I'm seeing. You get that really, really hideous, ugly lesbian that's going to be appointed a judge, and everybody's all focused on that. And you got the president up there pointing the finger at everybody. The Gulf, I think it just turned into the largest environmental disaster of all time because of the millions and millions of gallons that have gone out. And you know what's weird? Oil prices are falling. Gas prices are going up. Like right here, we have the highest gas prices in the continental United States. I know Alaska has, or excuse me, Hawaii has higher. But we're like $320, $325 now. But for 4 days in a row, oil prices have fell. People aren't driving. People aren't, you know, moving around. But what they fell from was above $70 a barrel. Let's not forget what Lindsey Williams said. You know, they're going to push it up. It dropped $2.68, about 3.5% of its value. I think they said today it settled at almost $73 a barrel, it says here. With all that oil pouring into the ocean, why isn't oil just skyrocketing? With all those oil rigs that have been told not to drill off the coast, where's this? See, it just shows that it's not connected. When they do that, when they say, oh, we had a refinery needs to be retooled, so gas prices are going to go up. Or they say, oh, more people are driving and the consumption's up. Really? You know, we haven't built a refinery in this country in like 20 years, and you know who's building one right now? North or South Dakota, I can't remember which one it is, against the advice of the federal government. Look at Texas. Texas could be its own independent nation. They have oil, they can refine it. Wow, what do I got going on here? Music's playing. Okay. We'll be back after the break, and I'm going to read you a letter from an Arizona senator that several of you sent me. So I'll be back after the break. Struggles ended now and peace smiles on our land. And though we've yielded, we have proved ourselves a faithful band. We fought them long, we fought them well, we fought them night and day. And bravely struggled for our rights while wearing of the gray. Ceased the fight and pledged our sacred word that we against the unions might no more draw the sword. We feel despite the sneers of those who never smelt the fray that we were madly on his right to Aaron of the gray.
Where waits a sparkling crown for everyone who for them right his soldier life laid down. God grant to us the privilege upon that happy day of clasping hands with those who fell and wearing the gray.
Conditions, the human body will die after 3 days without water. Having access to clean, drinkable water in a disaster, survival situation, or military action is critical when putting together your survival plan and survival kit. Whether you choose to boil, filter, purify, or use some type of chemical treatment, something must be done when planning your survival escape routes and plans and putting together your bug out bag or simply your rucksack. That's why I have chosen to offer Sawyer brand water filters. These filters used in the medical industry for kidney dialysis exceed the needs for water purification. With different units available, the basic unit that you should get will be capable of filtering up to 500 gallons a day and will not need to be replaced until you have surpassed 1 million gallons through that filter. I know that's hard to believe, but it's a fact. They've been using these filters overseas for years in the missionary fields and in post-disaster recovery efforts. The filters are lightweight and simple to use, so whether you attach it to a 5-gallon bucket, to a water bladder, or to a 10,000-gallon tank, these filters can do the job for you. They can handle up to 40 PSI, and with different fittings and ingenuity, you can even apply them to inside, inline water supply systems into your house, cabin, or survival structure. So I'm asking you to go to djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer water filters. Order them through us. You will save at least $5 off the retail price of buying them from Sawyer Direct. And as always, the money goes to help the radio ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So, do something right for your family, get them prepared for a disaster or calamity, and you're helping us out. So don't forget, djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer brand water filters.
What do you want to call me a murderer for? I've never killed anyone. I don't need to kill anyone. I think it.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns are toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
For nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
A new world order.
Attention. This is an emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones.
Radio.
And now for something completely different.
Okay, we're back. This is the Dutch Jones radio program coming to you Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. Pacific time off of the DutchJones.tk website via Ubroadcast for now, and as soon as that runs out, we're going to start using Ustream. I'm getting nothing but positive feedback from Ustream. After our subscription that we paid for 30 days in a row, middle of July, we'll switch over to Ustream. Everybody seemed to like it better. Although yesterday was a very successful Ubroadcast, you know, keep our prayers up that it doesn't fall down again. You know what I said about the atheist thing? They're listening, and I just got a big old I am from an atheist. It was funny, saying that, you know, if I can't taste it, touch it, feel it, you know, it doesn't exist. I said, really? What about love?
What about your brain?
You know, yeah, what about your brain? Can you taste your brain? Can you touch your brain? See, they're still out there, but at least they're listening. And hopefully he doesn't get offended when I challenge him. You know, a lot of this Greek Socratic thought has leaked into America again. There's like a revival in that kind of sense, you know. They're not worshiping the earth, but they're denying God. And if you look at them, they have a faith. They have a very strong faith in what? In science. And in what they're told by their college professors or whoever they're reading, they believe it, and they have a faith in that. And because they haven't been on the moon, they haven't They haven't traveled to the places that they're, you know, that they're being told disprove Christianity. They don't know that. You know, people that believe there's a giant solid iron magnet at the middle of the earth, I don't know that because I haven't been there. So you have to have a faith to believe their things, just like we have to have a faith to believe in our King, Jesus Christ. And the difference is that their beliefs do carry with them no type of moral grounding. They're relative to the period that they're standing in. If it's okay to be a homosexual, I'm not saying this guy who said it was a homosexual. I actually know him. I went to high school with him, and I do like him. And so don't get mad at me for sharing this, Shane, but I think it's an important discussion to bring out, and I won't spend too much time on it. But atheists, anarchists, agnostics, they have a faith in something else. And I think it takes more faith to believe in what they believe because every decade their beliefs are shown to be untrue. But the Bible has been consistent throughout time. You know, at one time they thought the earth was flat. And then that was proven wrong. I remember science said at one time you could never travel over 55 miles an hour on a train because your head would explode. All these things, they get proven wrong. You know, the moon was made of cheese. You know, there were aliens on Mars that were going to come and eat us. I don't know. But their things always get disproved constantly again and again and again. But if you take a real critical look at the Bible, nothing has been proven illegitimate in the Bible. And yes, there's a lot of violent stuff in the Bible, so I hate it when Christians try and take that attack. Oh, no, Christianity is the greatest thing ever, you know, and everybody would get along. No, there's still warfare. So they're doing a disservice when they're arguing with these people by trying to claim an all-loving God that never spanks anybody. So, the old fart in the link was a jerk. I'll have to look at that later. Where did I go? I got this great letter, and I actually got it from like six different people. It's from Arizona State Governor, or excuse me, State Senator Sylvia Allen. And it's a letter that she sent to the newspaper, and you know, a general letter to the public. So it starts out, and this is from her words. I'll try not to mock her, because a few things she says are good. A couple things I didn't like. But that's okay. I thought I just heard somebody yell over there. I want to explain State Bill 1070, which I voted for and was just signed by Governor Jan Brewer. So this is a little older story. Rancher Bob Krantz was murdered by the drug cartel on his ranch a month ago. I participated in a Senate hearing 2 weeks ago on the border violence. Here's just some of the highlights from those who testified. Now, this stuff isn't getting in the news. We don't get to hear this, but this senator, God bless her, is putting it out. The people who live within 60 to 80 miles of the Arizona-Mexico border have for years been terrorized and have pleaded for help to stop the daily invasion of humans who cross their property. One rancher testified that 300 to 1,200 people a day come across his ranch, vandalizing his property, stealing his vehicles and property, cutting down his fences, and leaving trash. In the last 2 years, he's found 17 dead bodies and two Korans. That means something. They're finding Korans, right? Another rancher testified that daily drugs are brought across his ranch in a military operation. A point man with a machine gun goes in front. Half a mile behind are the guards fully armed. Half a mile behind them are the drugs. Behind the drugs, half a mile are more guards. These people are violent, and they will kill anyone who gets in their way. This is not the only rancher we heard that day that talked about the drug trains. Now, these are the Zetas I've been telling you about. These are elements of the Mexican military that are guarding these trips across with drugs. Another rancher testified that daily drugs are brought across his ranch in a military operation. There's another one. That's the same one I read. One man told of two illegals who came upon his property, one shot in the back and the other... Hello! One shot in the back and the other in the arm by the drug runners who had forced them to carry the drugs and then shot them. Daily they listened to gunfire during the night. It is not safe to leave his family alone. Was there any mail?
Just for me.
Okay. To leave his family alone on the ranch, and they can't leave the ranch for fear of nothing being there when they get back because these illegals and these drug runners will steal everything. The Border Patrol is not on the border. They have set up 60 miles away with checkpoints that do nothing to stop the invasion. They are not allowed to use force in stopping anyone who is entering. They run down chasing them. If they get their hands on them, they can take them back across the border, the old catch and release thing. Federal prisons have over 35% illegals, and 20% of Arizona's prisons are filled with illegals. In the last few years, 80% of Arizona law enforcement that have been killed in the line of duty were killed by illegal aliens. 80% of Arizona law enforcement of all kinds. The majority of people coming now are people we need not to be worried about. The majority of people coming now are people we need to be worried about. Sorry, I read that wrong. The ranchers told us they have seen a change in the people coming. They're not just those who are looking for work and a better life. See, they make that sound like that's a noble cause, too. No. The people coming here, still jobs are just as bad. But I see their point. A guy coming looking for a job with a hoe over his shoulder versus a guy carrying drugs with a machine gun, I do see the difference. But they're all bad. They're all on the other side of the line of acceptable activity. The federal government has refused for years to do anything to help the border states. We've been overrun, and once they're here, we have the burden of funding state services that they use. Education costs have been over $1 billion. The health care cost billions of dollars. Our state is broke, $3.5 billion. That's their deficit. And we have many serious decisions to make. One is that we do not have the money to care for any who are not here legally. It has to stop. The border can be secured. We have the technology. We have the ability to stop this invasion. We must know who is coming, and they must come in an organized manner, legally, so that we can assimilate them into our population and protect the sovereignty of our country. Wow. We are a nation of laws, and we have a responsibility to protect our citizens and to protect the integrity of our country and the government which we live under. I would give amnesty today to many, she says. See, I wouldn't do that. I don't agree with her on that. But here's the problem. We dare not to do this until the border is secure. The minute they tell people they're going to start doing amnesty, it's going to be like a flood of rats coming over the border.
This will be the New Mexico.
Yeah, and might as well just change the name of the Southwest to Mexico, too.
Yeah, they're going to be everywhere.
Yeah.
Maine, all over
the United States. Don't think it's just us. They're going to be all over the United States.
Yeah.
It will do no good to forgive them because thousands will come behind them, and we will be overrun to the point that there will no longer be a United States of America, but a North American Union of open borders. I ask you, what form of government will we live under? How long will it be before we will be just like Mexico, Canada, or any other Central American or South American country? We have already lost our language. Everything must be printed in Spanish also. We have already lost our history. It is no longer taught in our schools, and we have lost our borders. Now, the leftist media has distorted what SB 1070 will do. It's not going to be set up like a Nazi Germany situation. Are you kidding me? The ACLU and the leftist courts will do everything to protect those who are here illegally, but it was an effort to try to stop illegals from setting up businesses and employment and receiving state services and give the ability to local law enforcement where there is probable cause, like a traffic stop, to determine if they are here legally. Federal law is very clear. If you are here on a visa, you must have your papers on you at all times. That is the law. In Arizona, all you need to show you are legal is to show a driver's license, a motor vehicle identification card, Native American card, or a military ID. This is what you need to vote, to go hunting, to get a license if you want to go hunting, etc. So nothing new has been added to this law. No one is going to be stopped walking down the street. The socialists who are in power in D.C. are angry because we dare try to do something, and that something the socialist wants us to do is to just let them come in. That's true. There is no reform. They just want no borders. They want a transformation of this country to continue. They want to keep stealing from the middle class, destroying the middle class, and going the other way, and just building up this lower class that will just do whatever they tell them to do. They want to get rid of us because we're going to resist. The Mexicans that are coming across, they're just going to be happy to have an indoor toilet. They'll obey. Maybe it's too late to save America. Maybe we're not worthy of freedom anymore. But she says, as an elected official, I must try to do what I can to protect our constitutional republic. God bless her for saying republic. Living in America is not a right just because you can walk across the border. Being an American is a responsibility, and it comes by respecting and upholding the Constitution, the law of our land, which says that you must do certain things to become a citizen of this country. Freedom is not free. I'll take a drink of water here. You used to have that intermission music when I... You don't have it anymore, do you? Pretty amazing that a state senator would put that out in the public there. So that kind of tells you, when they try to make it sound like Arizona's divided, I can tell you right now, if it was divided, she wouldn't have put this in the newspaper. She just put a big target on her. And let me get her name again. Let me go to the top here. This is Senator from Arizona, Sylvia Allen. Sylvia Allen, A-L-L-E-N. I don't have any... This is just like a forward. I don't have an email contact for her or anything. But it looks good to have her make a stand like that. What's going on? Why won't I go to my inbox? There we go. I'm just amazed at how stupid 80% of the country is, and actually how ambivalent 90% probably are. People are saying, well, you know, they're not taking any job I want. Okay, let's just say for sake of argument that they are only fulfilling the jobs that white folks won't do, that Americans won't do. What's going to happen when we reach 50 million elite? What are you making faces for over there?
I'm stretching.
Oh, 50 million of them come over. They're going to start taking the jobs you want. And the wages for the jobs you do are going to drop because Pedro and Hector are going to be, you know, trabajo, trabajo. ¿Dónde aquí trabajo? Where's the work? They used to come by and do that all the time when I was working in Fontana at a pipe yard welding pipes together. You know, and the boss say, no, I got enough people. And they're like, you know, we work cheap, $5 an hour. You know, if my boss wasn't a good American, he would have hired him. And he said, hey, DJ, take a hike. I'm not paying you $15 an hour, and I get three guys for that price, and I don't have to do any workers' comp or anything. They get injured or die, I'll throw them on the train tracks over the fence, because that's basically what happens. They're setting us up. I keep talking about moving chess pieces, folks. Watch what they're doing. Everything is happening for a reason. Nothing happens by accident. Well, if it does happen by accident, they exploit it, and it might as well have been pre-planned. California is the heart of Marxist darkness, Warland says. Yeah. California, Massachusetts, what other states are bad? Probably New York City. You know, city states. There's really no good place to go right now that's not, you know, Montana, Idaho. I guess Oklahoma's doing pretty good. Is Chuck in here? Oklahoma's doing some pretty good stuff, too. Arizona, it's a tough place to fight a battle. Very few areas for water. You know, they're concentrated. In the cities, once they turn off the water to the cities, they're gonna be hell on earth, folks. I do love Arizona, and I'm going to try to, even after we do this Arizona run, I'm going to try to find ways to counter the boycott on Arizona and purchase stuff from them, go there on vacation. When I had money, I used to drive to Phoenix just to get burritos because I really liked the burritos in this place in Phoenix I used to go to. I think it was Phoenix. I'll have to look on the map again. But we were looking on the map, and it's like a 14-hour drive from where we're at to get to the area for the Arizona op coming up. So, anybody that wants to help out with gas money can send it to the pitch-in. we'll use it to pay the... Oh, hey, here's some good news. Our electric bill for last month was less than... I think it was less than
$70. It was less than our internet
bill. Yeah, it was less than our internet bill for the first time, so that was nice. Me going around turning lights off behind Lou is what helps. He turns on, like, every light. I gave him a flashlight, hoping that would help, but... No, he uses the flashlight to find the light switch in the middle of the night when he's making his run to the outhouse. You know, I say just use your night vision goggles, but he doesn't want to. Yeah, he says it's hard to do stuff with the night vision goggles on. I lose my depth perception. He walks into trees and things. But very interesting stuff going on right now. A lot of it seems kind of subtle until you put it all together in a big picture. It's all mass distraction. You know, they're not going to extend benefits for federally unemployed people that are getting federal unemployment benefits. They're just not going to do it. The Republicans are the ones doing that. There's just no money. They don't have money. And I feel bad because we have some listeners that are on unemployment. And they're just saying there's just no money. Like here in California, there just is no more money. And everything he tries to cut, they fight. Right now, it's like 40 to 50% of our debt in California, that we have to pay on is, retirement money, pension funds, health insurance for retired firefighters. I mean, when people were coming to California, they were giving them these great deals to work for civil service. Retire at 55 from the fire department and get like 95% of your pay plus full medical for the rest of your life. Bizarre stuff. And then now they're paying for that price. They're paying for trying to lure people in here. You and I are paying for it. And now these people that planned their whole lives, you know, let's be fair to them. These firefighters said, okay, I'll retire at 55. My wife and I will go get a smaller house at one of these retirement communities, and I'll play shuffleboard forever. Well, now you can't do it because that money's not there. The investments that your unions made, the investments that the state made, and Your Honor, the SEIU, the Service Employees International Union, which I was a member of, it's going to go bankrupt because there's just no money. You saw the stock market. Everyone's retirements are tied to that. School teachers here, they can't pay their school teachers. And that directly goes back to the illegal aliens because of the overinflated classroom sizes of all the invading illegals. Of course, you need to boycott public school and homeschool your kids or put them in a private Christian school. You need to sacrifice a little. I know it's tough. Hey, if, you know, usually both parents in America tried to work so they could, you know, live the dream and go into just a huge amount of debt. Well, sometimes now they're not working at all. Start homeschooling your kids. What a great way to protest as a patriot and a Christian. Pull them out of the public cesspool system. And then you can say, hey, look, I'm helping save the state money, taking one less kid out to feed, one less kid out to educate. These budgets are amazing. Someone just said in there, and we are sending $17 billion every year to Israel, and the population of Israel lives in subsidized housing. Yeah, why are we sending money to other nations? I don't even care if it's Israel. Why are we sending money to Borneo? Why are we sending money to France? Why are we sending money to anywhere at all? Why are we sustaining troops in nations to defend them with our troops? Why do we have bases in Germany, Okinawa, South America, Indonesia? Oh, we need to be there to stem the tide. Of what? Of what? The tide of tyranny is right here at our front doors. It's lapping at our windowsills. And our soldiers are all over the world enforcing democracy. And you and I are paying for it. You and I are paying for it. I mean, every time I look and I see, like, there was Canada, I know, but they said $900 million to do security for the G8 and the G20 summits that occurred this year. $900 million. That's almost a billion. That's like $100 million away from a billion, if you didn't know that. $1 billion just on security so these tyrants can plan how to take more money out of our pocketbooks. I mean, I can't think of an empire in history that had more comical stuff going on. If I wasn't living it, I'd be laughing at it. It's like Caligula and everything rolled into one big bad glob. I mean, it's just amazing that Americans accept it.
It's like a riddle wrapped in an enigma.
It's like a riddle wrapped in an enigma. You know, all these different conspiracy theories and everything are turning out to be true. You got guys like Rush Limbaugh right now actually speaking like a patriot for the first time instead of a cheerleader for the Republican Party. It doesn't mean I like him, but he was on when the alarm went off. Actually, he was on like 3 hours after the alarm went off, but I've been laying in bed taking care of this leg. Ankle, to be more specific. Insane, unexplainable, ridiculous, and evil. And yet most of America is just going, doop-dee-dee. I'm just going to play along with it, and God help you if you get in their way and try and show them something going on. They're like horses with blinders on. It's like, you know, the little story about the emperor's new clothes. He comes out butt naked or in his underwear, I think it was, and only one kid had the guts to say, he's naked. We need to be pointing at our government and saying, they're naked, they're wrong, they're evil. You know, and whenever anybody does it, what do? The media digs into their past, finds out that they didn't brush their teeth one night, and vilifies them. You can't be a civilian anymore. You get thrown in with the celebrity du jour status. Remember the plumber guy who Barack said, Joe the plumber, Barack looked at him and said, well, I think it's our duty to spread wealth around or something like that, you know, a communist plank. They vilified that guy. Now, I don't know if he was a genius. I know he tried to do some television stuff. I don't know. But he had a right to make a comment of this guy who was going to be, you know, potentially commander-in-chief at the time and ended up being one. Why not? But they vilified him. You stand up, you're going to get shut down so fast. I mean, who needs the Inquisition? Who needs the dungeon in the king's basement when you've got the media working for you? When they will find everything, because no one is without sin. If Mother Teresa got up and she was still alive and said something against Obongo, they would find out that she made a porno film when she was like 16 or something. And even if she didn't, they would produce one. Because that's the way the beast is working now. They don't throw you in a dungeon. They destroy you in the public arena. It's just like the Colosseum with the gladiator battles. Instead of throwing Christians to lions, they're throwing Christians to the media. Try and find anywhere in the popular news where the word Christian and militia are said in a way that isn't derogatory. Or a way that isn't, like, wacko. I even it's funny. Sorry, I hit it. There was some... what was I looking at? There was some defense attorney, and I don't remember who he was representing. I think it was one of the Stones from the Hutari. The defense attorney said he has the right to... Because they had a recording of someone speaking, saying, you know, oh, we need a war to cleanse the nation. He goes, he's not saying anything different than any other right-wing wacko. That's what his defense attorney said. I'd be punching my defense attorney in the face and firing him. Mm-hmm. It was in the article that I read. So they're really didn't say anything different than any other right-wing wacko, and this guy's supposed to be defending him. The court system is even set against him.
Yeah.
I need to listen for more updates on that.
Defense attorney's against you.
Well, your defense attorney, he's sworn an oath to the court. He serves the court, not you.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if he's a public defender or the highest-paid lawyer. Usually the higher-paid ones will go for you if you got money, but, you know, that's a case of class warfare there. It's not racial bias, it's class. As long as you get the money, you can walk out of court.
I read an article today about, like, this... defense of justice attorney was defending. He quit because of the Black Panther Party.
Okay.
Court was going on. He quit.
The lawyer just walked out?
Yeah, because they were lying about the Black Panthers that was at that.
Oh, the ones that were standing in Illinois?
Yeah.
Who was he defending?
It didn't say.
Oh, yeah.
They just said that. Well, DOJ just quit.
Wherever you get the article, bring it in, because it sounds good, but you got the facts kind of. Yeah. Well, Stacy read something about some guys that did some stuff, but try and bring it in. If you can get it tomorrow, bring it in. Because I'd like to know what's going to happen to those guys, too. Remember the two new Black Panther Party militia guys standing out in front of the polling place with sticks? Can you imagine if we were out there in our camouflage with, you know, Confederate flags? Huh?
It was a baton.
Yeah, they had baton sticks. And
intimidating.
And if we just even stood, you know, half a mile on the way to the polling place, what would happen to us? Yeah. Yeah, you know. You guys know the truth.
We'd be thrown in jail.
We'd be beaten, maced, tased, thrown in jail. Hey, the guy who, the cop in San Francisco who drilled the black dude right between the shoulder blades because he thought he was tasing him, but he pulled his pistol. They knocked it down from first-degree murder to second-degree murder, and I think they're trying to get a plea on that. So, anyway, every prison he goes to, he's going to be a pivot man in the round robin. Well, here we go. We're getting ready to switch over to Liberty Tree Radio, where we're going to talk about some biblical response to tyranny. We'll be back after this break.
I am a rebel soldier, and far from my home. The great shot and musket and the cannons lumber loud. It's many a mangled body, the blanket for the shroud. It's many a mangled body left on the fields alone. I am a rebel soldier, and far from my home. I will drink to mine.
You can drink to your true love and I'll lament and moan. I am a rebel soldier and far from my home. I'll build me a castle on some green mountain high, where I can see Polly when she is passing by. Where I can see Polly and help her to mourn. I'm a rebel soldier and far from my home.
Everybody has to pay taxes. Even businessmen that rob and steal and cheat from people every day. Even they have to pay taxes.
Government. There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns are toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Where's the hint for you geniuses out there?
Obey me!
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Put out all points, bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
A new world
order. Attention.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Bats and Jellies and Jellies.
Radio.
And now for something completely different.
Okay, we're back. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. This is we've just finished up an hour on U Broadcast. Now we're on Liberty Tree Radio also, and we're glad to be on here and everywhere that they send it. We're not doing a Ustream today, too much bandwidth, but I think probably in a week or two we're switching exclusively to Ustream. I just want to make it easier for my old, long-time listeners. I'm getting nothing but positive feedback. There are people that said they cannot listen on U Broadcast, that it keeps kicking them off, but when I use Ustream, like in this hour when the folks at Liberty Tree Radio use it, they have no problem. So we're going to do that. And for right now, it's free, and they say it's only good for a handful of listeners, but I was on the other day, and we had 20 or 30 people listening, and I was really impressed, and we didn't have any dropouts. Of course, we're not having any dropouts right now with U Broadcast, but as you can see, if you're on the U Broadcast, we're not doing any video. We like to do video, you know, because I know you guys need to see my shining face to believe that I'm telling the truth, and you like to see what's going on the shelf behind me. I'm getting weird emails like, what's that on the shelf behind you? So it's a couple power supplies, a CB, a firearms weapon repair vise, a satellite dish receiver that somebody just gave us, but I don't like to throw anything away. Oh, the Book of Sun Tzu, The Art of War. It's a bunch of other stuff. An old Shure microphone for the shortwave rig that we're going to set up. That's what's behind me. So if you're one of those three or four guys that are curious about what's behind me. On the other side, when I did my latest video on YouTube, I had the Confederate flag behind me, and I got a lot of negative and stuff. And hey, I would like to thank, and this is cool, Mark Kornke for commenting on our videos on YouTube. Thank you. I appreciate that. I saw that, and I go, is that really Mark? Cool. So that was kind of neat that he liked what we were doing. He encouraged us, and I really needed it. I was getting a lot of negative stuff on the YouTube thing. It's kind of funny. Some people don't think I should argue with them, but I'm out here waging the war. And as long as I have the time, because today, for those of you that weren't listening the first hour, I got one of those middle-of-the-night leg cramps that turns into like a softball in the upper part of your leg. It ripped my Achilles tendon. I mean, it tore it. I can't even put weight on my leg. I woke up this morning going, you know, I remember having the cramp, and then I tried to flex my foot. So I stayed in bed up until about, 4:30, Lou? you know, over there. I had a computer over there doing work and stuff. And what did we watch? We watched District 9, and then we watched Fight Quest, and then we watched some training videos for knife, firearms, and stuff. That wasn't, you know, they weren't too good. But District 9 was kind of interesting. Oh, wait, I'm losing audio in my headphones again. Every time you move something over there, Lou. It's still going out, though? We're still doing good? Okay, as long as they can hear me. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program coming to you from the Church of Cahuilla outside the gates of Sequoia National Park in Cahuilla, California, in the hills here. We're doing the best we can with what we got, trying to get out of here. So we appreciate the people that listen. Send us your cards, letters, and comments to Post Office Box 31. Post Office Box 31, Cahuilla, California. It's all, actually, the easiest way to find us, dutchjones.tk. DutchJones.tk. Lewis set up a forum for us. You can find that forum by going to dutchjones.tk. And can people create their own threads in there?
Yeah.
So if you got a great idea for a topic, you want to talk about grandma's marmalade canning recipe?
We have two members, me and you.
Yeah, and there's only two members, me and Lou. Nobody else is using it. But it's there for you guys. Because I'm getting it. The reason we did this is I'm getting all these people saying, hey, I heard you talking about so-and-so, and he lives in Pennsylvania, too, and I live in Pennsylvania. We want to hook up. So rather than starting, you know, Dutch Jones Love Connection, you know, and going on the UPN or something, we set up this forum so you guys could find each other. Report in by state or
DutchJones.tk.
Yeah, DutchJones.tk. You can go there, and that way you'll be able to chat with the people when I'm not on. And we've got people out there. You know, a couple people got paperweights from what's the name of the company? I always forget.
KT Ordnance.
Forgive me. KT Ordnance, a proud supporter of Liberty Tree Radio. And they want to talk to each other to figure out how to put, you know, these paperweights in good locations and make them more functional as paperweights. So it's really good. But we watched the movie District 9 today, and it was kind of neat. It kind of had a whole New World Order flair to it, sci-fi. Aliens crash land here. And
they're
in refugee camps, and they're kind of freaky and ignorant. There's these people that are, they wouldn't be racist, it would be speciesist, because they didn't like them. They had derogatory names for them and everything, and it just showed what an armpit hole, disgusting place South Africa is. Yeah, they were called prawns, like the prawns, it's like a shrimp, what they call the aliens. But it was kind of neat to see. They had like their own version of the New World Order in there and stuff, and trying to make money off the alien technology. But we watched that today. That was pretty good. But I recommend it. There's some foul language in it, a lot of foul language in it. Actually, we were surprised. What was the place we were watching the rifle training from today?
Tactical Response Solutions,
and we only watched two discs of it, and he dropped the F-bomb like
and
four times.
The second disc, they didn't edit that.
Yeah, and then they didn't edit the second disc. They left all the character generation up from the first one, and it was like it was cycling through it. Like they just entered it into the computer. So the stuff was coming up on the screen that had nothing to do with what he was talking about. And the guy was vulgar and rude. I mean, I'm thick-skinned. You know, I know when I go to a training, people are going to use soldier language and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, it defeats the purpose of me using that video to train, you know, the women or kids in our church. It just shows the character of the people. They can't control themselves in a public venue. And, you know, he just threw it out there. Oh, yeah, and the guy was a cop, too, yeah. Yeah, he was talking about being a cop and having to shoot people and all kinds of stuff.
I feel a lot of people don't want to talk about it, except in all my videos.
Yeah, yeah. So, but that was pretty good, the District 9. We were going to watch Bridge Over the River Kwai, but we didn't have enough time. Lou got it for me after. You remember a couple weeks ago I said I've never actually seen it all the way through. Lou went through the trouble of getting it, and we're probably going to watch it later tonight if Stacy will let us watch a war movie. She always falls asleep anyway. Right, Stace?
Yeah.
What are you looking at? You're looking depressed. You're reading, like, the bank account or something? Oh, yeah, checking orders on the stuff coming in. But anyway, yesterday and the day before, I've really been hitting hard about a Christian's responsibility to resist tyranny. It's a duty. And it's really, I didn't realize how many agnostics or atheists listened to me. They IM'd me on Facebook. I got email, and most of them were good-natured. A few of them were ignorant idiots, especially the ones that were anarchists. They're like, you're alienating people by including your God in there. And I'm just like, well, get over it. Move on. It's not my problem. Go believe it. It takes more faith to believe in your science than it does for me to believe in my God. And like I said earlier, I said everything changes every 10 years in science anyway, so, you know, relativism. Oh, my science. Science, be warned, you know. But it's sad. but I'm going to go on and I'm going to hit you guys with some facts. The other letters I got was people saying, you didn't go in-depth enough. You're telling us these concepts, but you're not giving us your sources, and I apologize for that. Sometimes I get into this groove, and I just start giving you what's been taught to me through either by reading or by good instructors and good pastors, and I forget to pass it on to you. And that is a bad thing to do. I'm always saying, test me. So today I've got some stuff for you, and there'll be Bible verses. So you'll have to write them down. I'm not going to go over the Bible verses on the air. I want you to do the research to see if I'm telling you the truth. Now, we're not getting the stuff that I'm using here is out of the book called America's Providential History. It's by Dr. Mark A. Beliles and Stephen K. McDowell. America's Providential History. Those of you that are doing homeschooling will know it. It's been around for years. It's an excellent history book. And if you're in the habit of arguing against atheists and agnostics and patriots who think that we should have a humanist revolution like France did, this is the book for you. We're going to take about 2 years to go through it here in Bible study, but it's a quick read. It's like a textbook. It's got big margins where you can take notes and everything.
The link for the church at Korea is on
here. I don't see it, Lou. Oh, there it is. It just came up. Let's see here. But one of the key things that I got in the letters, the people were saying that we're not to meddle in politics or in the earth. We're to obey the leaders put over us. Yes, to the non-tyrannical leaders put over us, to the just civil magistrates. Now, first, people don't realize, what is a tyrant? A tyrant is one who exercises unlawful authority. We should observe the following guidelines in resisting tyranny. Now, we have the right to protest or use legal action against any civil magistrate. Throughout history, that has been the rights of unalienable right of man. God gave those our rights. And if the tyrants don't acknowledge it, that's just another example of their tyranny. Now, jurisdiction is something you have to look into here, too. Who has jurisdiction over you? There's a bunch of people in the sovereign man movement, you know, that I'm a free man on the land, that say there is no sovereign over me. I would argue that, okay, there is no human sovereignty over you, but God is sovereign over all men, Jesus Christ. And that's where I differ with that. And you know, I know people want to argue about that. Put my hand down somewhere. It shouldn't have been on the computer. Okay. Now, our first means of recourse should be to protest and or take all legal action possible. We saw this in the American Revolution. Just year after year of letters and filings and presenting our arguments to the king. Jesus protested when he remained silent before Pilate and refused to cooperate. Remember that? When he's standing there in Matthew, get this one, Matthew 27, verse 14. Matthew 27, verse 14. He was before Pilate, and he said, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And, and basically Jesus said, "That's what you're saying." And then when he publicly censored Herod for his death threats, remember? Herod sent magistrates out after, basically sent a subpoena out for Jesus, and they said, "Hey, you're supposed to come and answer to King Herod for what you've been doing." And Jesus turned around, and this is in Luke 13:31. Go to Luke 13:31 when you get a chance. Don't do it now, but write it down. And he said, "Ah, Herod, that fox." It was an insult. It wasn't like in the 70s, "Ooh, she's a fox." It was being cunning and cruel, is what he was saying. He goes, "I have work to do. I must outcast demons. I have healings to do." And he goes, "And I'm going to go about my business." And he basically refused a subpoena. So when people say, "Oh, you're a Christian patriot, you can't resist the government." Jesus did it. He basically told a summons server to go take a hike. And he also said, "Here's where I'm going to be in the next few days. You better not mess with me." He also instructed his disciples to publicly protest if city officials denied them their inalienable rights to religious speech. Now, you remember when he told them to go out to the streets if a town rejected the message? He says, "Wipe the dust of that city from your shoes and move on." That's Luke 10, verse 11. Luke 10, verse 11. Wiping the dust off of one's feet is the equivalent of a boycott. Saying, "I won't be in this town ever again. You don't want to hear my message? You don't want to allow me to preach in the streets, which is my right as a human being, as a child of Jesus Christ? Well then, we're never coming back here." The free nations of the world generally have more means of legal recourse and of protesting ungodly actions than other nations do. You know, I'm glad we don't live in China. Of all the places in the world, I'm still glad I'm in America. Examples of protesting include picketing abortion chambers, boycotting stores that sell pornography, and removing our children from public schools that deny God. Now, probably other than going to the border or being in a militia, the next most risky thing you can do is be an abortion protester on the street. You'll get attacked. People will walk up and shoot you in the chest. But that's a form of protest. Even though it's a legal law that women can go and murder their children, we as Christians know that is wrong. We have a duty to protest it. It's what we're called to do. We who live in a free nation not only have the right to do this, but we are obliged by God to do so to keep our conscience clean. If that's what motivates you, if you don't want to be... My computer's doing all kinds of weird stuff. If you don't want to be sitting up at night feeling bad, go protest something. You know, an injustice, an ungodly act. Now, the apostles also protested and took legal action. Now, remember when Paul and Barnabas were beaten and driven out of Antioch by the city officials? They did the same thing. They knocked the dust off their shoes and said, "We're not coming back." That's in Acts 13:51. That's what Jesus told them to do. If a town rejects you, beats you, throws you out, don't ever go to that town again, but let them know. Back then, it was a real big thing. You know, the feet, you know, they like to divorce your wife. You took off a shoe and threw it at her. You know, they had some strange laws, but it's something to do with the feet. Weird rabbinical laws that they added. Protesting unlawful action is a Christian idea. Why do you think a lot of these denominations today are called Protestants? People think you're either a Protestant or a Catholic. That's the either-or argument. The kind of Christian I am, if people ask, say, well, we're the kind of Christian that existed before those two corporations were formed. Now, Protestants originally received their title due to their protesting action to the authorities, both civil and ecclesiastical. Ecclesiastical means church, for those of you listening in Orange Cove. That God declared was wrong. In Acts 16, we read how Paul and Silas were unlawfully thrown into jail. When the chief magistrates tried to cover this up, because remember, they were Roman citizens, and they didn't want to get in trouble with their Roman higher-ups, Paul, recognizing his civil liberties were a sacred cause, demanded restitution to be made. Paul said to them, "They have beaten us in the public square without trial, men who are Romans, and have thrown us into prison. And now are they sending us away secretly? No, indeed. But let them come themselves and bring us out." Now, that's Acts 16:37. He was beaten. He was arrested, kept from preaching the gospel, as a citizen of Rome was allowed to do. And then when they found out, you know, they beat him and threw him in jail. And they're like, "Oh, no, you guys can go. Please don't make a big deal out of it." No, he said, "We're going to make a big deal out of it. You're going to apologize to me." It's just like I tell you the stories whenever, you know, it hasn't happened in a while, but when I get pulled over by police and they harass me and they find the guns in my car, and then they run my name and see that I'm ex-law enforcement and that, you know, I'm ex-military and all that. And they go, "Oh, well, why didn't you tell us you used to be a cop?" And my answer is always like, "Why should you treat me any differently? Why should you treat me any differently? I'm just a citizen. Why should I get recognition?" It's like when I was in the fire department, I had that little sticker for the union. Cops would pull me over, see the sticker, and then give me a warning. And I took advantage of it, and that was wrong. We shouldn't be treated any better because of our office or titles of nobility that are given to us by, you know, self-important magistrates, right? The reason Paul appealed to Caesar in Acts 24 through 26 was because his civil rights had been violated. He was being a good steward of the civil liberties God gave to him. The whole course of Paul's life was changed due to his exerting his rights as a citizen. He was rewarded by God. And other people benefited too. If we don't exert our rights, our unalienable rights as Christian Americans, and we just allow them to violate our rights, the next guy, they're going to violate them a little more and a little more. It's like a rape victim not reporting the scumbag who raped her. Three or four down the line, he's going to start killing his victims. Do you understand where I'm going there? You have a duty to report unjust activity, especially by magistrates and people under color of authority. He saw this action as part of the Great Commission. Even when non-Christians apply biblical methods for resisting tyranny, they find some measure of success. Think about Gandhi in India. About as unchristian as you can get, right? He embarrassed the British government to the point, you know, that they were just slaughtering Indian after Indian. I don't agree with the example here, but they still understand that you have to stand up against tyranny. I don't like the way he did it. Afterwards, Gandhi said, well, if we'd had guns, we would have resisted violently, but India wasn't, they weren't allowed to have guns, so their only way was to just be mowed down by British machine guns. Do you see what I'm saying here? Gandhi took the only course he could, even though I wouldn't have done it. I would have found a way. We'd have used sharpened sticks or something. But Christians have a duty to protest, not rebel. Rebellion is witchcraft. That's why I get in trouble. People say, oh, it's a rebel flag. I kind of let it go sometimes, but being in a state of rebellion would be is if we were refusing to acknowledge a just government. Do you understand? Like, say, for instance, I committed murder, outright murder, not self-defense. I killed a man because I wanted his motorcycle. And then the court subpoenas me, comes after me, finds me guilty, gives me a week to get my things in order, and then I have to report to my life sentence or to my death sentence, depending on the state I'm in. And I don't show up. That's rebellion to a just judgment. And I am in contradiction to the Christian doctrine of that the Lord's given us. Do you understand that? But when it is an unjust edict, we have to resist it. I go so far to say is that, you know, resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. I think we must resist tyranny. Now, other scholars that have bigger brains than me say that we have the right to resist. I think we have a duty. I really do. If all avenues of protest or legal action are expended to right unlawful acts of civil authorities, then flight, if possible, is the next appropriate measure to take. A lot of people don't like hearing that. Discretion is the better part of valor. If I know the FEMA guys are coming for me, and I'm looking around and I'm saying, well, there's 10 of us and there's 1,000 troops coming down the road, maybe flight is the better act. I've already told them, hey, you can't do this. I've sent them letters. We've stood up in the public arena and said, we will not go to FEMA camps. If we have a way to flee to save our family so that we can fight another day against overwhelming odds, then in that case, the biblical doctrine of flight is legitimate. Jesus told his disciples that whenever they persecute you in this city, flee to the next. It's Matthew 10, verse 23. He said, whenever they persecute you in this city, flee to the next. Matthew 10, verse 23. He also warned them to flee the destruction that was about to come upon Jerusalem. Yeah, the judgment that befell Jerusalem for resisting the Messiah. That's in Matthew 24, verses 15 through 18. Matthew 24, verses 15 through 18. He warned people to flee the city. I mean, I talk about it all the time. Flee to the mountains. Get out of the city. It's not my idea. I got it from Jesus. The early church also took flight as persecution rose against them. In Acts 8, 1 through 4, Acts 8, 1 through 4, you can see that. This is not to say that they were to hide out in the mountains, but that sometimes flight to other places was more surely allow us to follow God's will. So if it's not complete Armageddon, go live in a city that's near the mountains. Position yourself a little closer to the retreat. Now may not be the time. Maybe leaving L.A. and going a little farther north to Bakersfield might be a better idea. I don't know much about Bakersfield. People tell me it's terrible. But now, many people who came to settle in America were fleeing civil and religious tyranny. Now, after exhausting all means of protest and legal action, they saw that flight was the best means to accomplishing God's purpose. This principle is the basis of the constitutional right of immigration. Boy, it's like whenever you touch something over there, the audio drops in my headphones. I don't know what you're doing. Yeah, I don't know. You move your mouse or something and it wiggles a wire. See, it did it again. Stop doing it. Let's see. Now, it just popped back in real loud. Did you hear it?
No.
Yeah, it's weird. Maybe my ears are going bad, too. Force and self-defense is the next level. As a last recourse in resisting tyranny, force is a legitimate biblical means. Now, the Old Testament contains many examples of the children of Israel using force to defend themselves. That's going to come later in the book, so we're not going to talk about it too much. But for now, we want to show that Jesus also considered force legitimate at certain times in resisting tyranny. At the conclusion of the Last Supper, Jesus finished his instructions. He began with the 70 by instructing his disciples to prepare themselves militarily. We know where we're going here. Let him who has no sword sell his robe and buy one. And they said, Lord, look, here are two swords. And he said, okay, that's enough. And that's Luke 22:36 through 38, implying the legitimacy of using force at certain times. He's saying it's better that you suffer cold at night without your cloak that you have a sword. It's better to not have an overcoat, a means of shelter from the storm, to have a sword. Sell your cloak and buy a sword. Let's see here. Oh, John Jay, the first Supreme Court justice, commented on this incident in a letter written in 1818. Now, this is John Jay from the first Supreme Court. Although just war is not forbidden by the gospel in express terms, yet you think an implied prohibition of all war without exception is deducible from the answer of our Lord to Pilate, vis-a-vis, if my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, etc. Now, this is, he's answering people that say that, oh, Christians have to be pacifists and there should be no war. But he said, Jesus is saying there is an option for war. Were we fighting in a spiritual realm, my army would be all over you. At the conclusion of the Last Supper, our Lord said to his disciples, he that hath no sword, let him now sell his garment and buy one. They answered, Lord, here are two swords. He said, that is enough. It is not to be presumed that our Lord would have ordered swords to be provided, but for some purpose for which a sword was requisite. He didn't want them to have a sword so they could knock dates out of trees. He didn't want them to have a sword so they could dig a latrine. At that time and day, the sword was the military weapon of choice. The Roman short sword was the pinnacle of sword design. And he's telling them, you're going to need this sword, sons. When the officers of their band arrived with swords and with staves to take Jesus, they who were about him saw what would follow. They said to him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? Luke 22:49. Now, it does not appear that any of the 11 disciples were with him except one, made the least attempt to defend him. But Peter, probably inferring from the other swords that were now to be used, proceeded to smite a servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Jesus, perhaps among other reasons to abate inducements to prosecute Peter for this violent act, healed the ear. He reached down, picked up the ear, and put it back on the Ethiopian dude. Now, he ordered Peter to put his sword into his sheath and gave two reasons for it. The first related to himself and amounted to this, that he would make no opposition, saying, the cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink? He said, basically, Jesus was saying, this is my destiny, this is what I must do. You can't interfere. The second related to Peter. They who take the sword shall perish by the sword, doubtless meaning that they who take and use the sword as Peter had just done, without lawful authority, and against lawful authority, incurred the penalty and risk of perishing by the sword. Now, I would take that even farther, because we said, he who lives by the sword shall die by the sword. If you react to everything in your life with the sword, you will most likely die by the sword. It's common sense. If your answer to everything is violence, you are probably going to die a violent death. In this case, it wasn't just. There was a higher purpose to Jesus being arrested, and he knew it at that time. He'd been praying for hours. He was praying so hard, blood was coming out of his pores in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I always pronounce that wrong, so. He was saying, this isn't the time, Peter. He didn't say, throw the sword away. He said, put that sword back in its scabbard. So all these pacifists say, oh, you live by the sword, shall die by the sword. I always go, yeah, you're right. If I'm a mercenary, if I'm like Blackwater, I'm going to die by the sword. Okay, we're going to come up with a break here. That went kind of fast. I hope you're liking it here. The phone number to call in is 559-561-8225. 559-561-8225. We're going to be back after the break with more of this Christian militia stuff. Offend the agnostics and pacifists that listen. I can't believe there are any, actually. We'll be right back.
Up its silver spray.
Listening to the Dutch Jones radio program, and if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people, and number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
I promise to tell the truth, always, about my intentions and my beliefs.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns are toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
Okay,
it's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new
attention.
World order.
Attention. Attention. It's an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the jail stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Shut back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones.
Radio. And now for something completely different.
Yes, 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 yes. This is the Dutch Jones radio program coming to you live right now on the 1st of July. Just three more days to I Hate England Day. That's what I call the 4th of July, because I don't understand why people forget, you know, just what they did to our nation and to our people. In two wars, they burned our capital. Well, I'm sorry. You know, it's my Scottish upbringing, too, and I think there's some Irish ancestors in there, too. I have no love for the British. I'm sorry. I have a lot of British fans, I notice, but the things they do to the empire that they ran and the way they ran things, so we're going to celebrate I Hate England Day or Death to the Queen Day. Can I say that? Can I say death to the queen? She's not really a head of state anymore. She's just the world's largest welfare recipient. The Queen of England, by the way, just in case you didn't know that.
The Queen of Hearts.
The Queen of Hearts now. So we're back. We are live today. I'm coming to you from the Church of Korea. We're discussing things that make people nervous. We're talking about Christianity and the militia movement. We're talking about the history of using martial means to resist as a Christian, all the way back to the Bible. You know, at the time of Jesus Christ. And I've got some more stuff here. I didn't check my email. I should have checked it. I'm sitting here trying to stretch out this calf. It just is killing me from this thing. One comment I wanted to make, he who lives by the sword dies by the sword, is not always necessarily true. How many more veterans of our wars have died of old age in their beds compared to how many die in battle, right? So, you know, he who lives by his sword shall die by the sword doesn't mean that every soldier is breaking some cardinal sin and is going to die for what he did. No. And I hope you understand my analogy. If you make every decision with that sword in your hand, somebody tells you you can't have a seat at the Denny's and you stab somebody to take their seat, yeah, you're going to die by the sword. So I'm trying to get that point across, because so many people think because you're a Christian you have to sit on your hands and let your wife and children, your wife be raped and your children be murdered in front of you, because you can never you can never raise a hand against another man because Jesus told you not to there. It's a total misinterpretation of the scripture. We were talking about Mennonites last night after the Bible study with a man who goes to our church, who went to a Mennonite high school and has Mennonites in his family, and he always picks on them, you know, and he's like, so even if I walk up and punch you, you can't hit me? And his cousin's like, yeah, I can't hit you. He's like, well, if you hit me, I'm going to hit you. He's like, well, I can never hit you. You know, it's like that Harrison Ford in that movie where he went to live with the Amish and the local kids were making fun of him and he punched a kid.
Witness.
That's the only scene in the movie I remember, when he looks like an Amish guy and he decks the teenager, you know, wham. I love that scene. Back to Jay. I don't know what that noise is. Somebody's phone. I don't know. My phone's way over there. The phone number to call in is 559-561-8225 if you want to add to what we're doing here. Or, you know, I can't really debate anybody, it'll take up too much time, but if you don't think what I'm saying is true, send me some verses to counter it, and I'll tear them up and send them back to you. As Jay noted, this is of course Jay, one of the first Supreme Court justices. Christ's mission precluded the use of force in this particular instance. Nonetheless, Jesus taught the legitimacy of using the legal sword to restrain the illegal sword of the aggressor. Now, if you go to Matthew 26, verse 52, Matthew 26, verse 52, you can find that there. Now, the authority and responsibility of using the sword to punish evil or protect the righteous, either from within a nation or from aggression by an outside enemy, resides first with the civil government. Now, that's Romans 13, 1 through 4. It's the job of civil government, just like the issue we were talking about last hour about illegal immigration. That's their job, to use the sword to keep people out of our country. That is why anytime we reach the step where force is necessary in resisting tyranny, we must go through legitimate governing officials. Now, the old militias were usually run through the churches, through the county judges, through the county sheriff, some kind of county magistrate. See, that's changed today, because when we go to the county judge, and we've done that here with our militia to get legitimacy, we tried to apply the law and be within the law, nobody would see us. The sheriff and a county judge refused to even talk about it. So therefore, by de facto, we became unregulated, or as we like to say, unenrolled citizens militia. We gave them the opportunity. We wrote them letters. We showed them the law in the California Constitution under the military and veterans codes, that there is a clause. And the thing of it is that we were going to them because they had to fund us. Under the California law, they have to fund the militia, and we were going to make them supply us with vehicles and weapons. But they didn't want to even let us in the front door. They had gatekeepers that kept us away. A lower representative must be convinced to ignore a higher decree of in obedience to God's higher law. Now, this is the doctrine of the lower magistrate. If the federal government is violating our rights, the lower magistrate, which would be the sheriff, is called by God to stand in. Let me get this here. Hello?
How are you?
Hello, who do we have?
General.
Boy, hang on there. I can barely hear you. Bring it up. Hello?
Can you hear me now, Dutch?
No, your phone is real low. And I've got everything cranked up on here. Let me make sure I'm on the right one. That's really strange. That pot's gone.
Uh-oh. Okay, I'll give you a sound check. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah, nothing. I got you cranked all the way up.
I'll try to call back in and see if...
Yeah, see if you can call back in. Maybe it shouldn't have... shouldn't do that. I have the pot turned all the way up. Okay, thanks. That's really weird, Lou. Let me make sure it's plugged in here. Hang on. No, it's fine. Nobody's changed anything since yesterday. In fact, let's do this. Let's go. Let's go. Yeah, I can barely hear it. It's like this pot went dead. Okay, in number two, see number two? Take it out and put it in number five. Put it in number five. Okay.
You need help. Hang up and then dial.
There we are.
I hear that.
Yeah, that's what we argue or fight with here. Here we go. It's our soundboard is just taking a dump on us. We had to move everything down to number 5 now. So if you want to call in, here we go. Okay, let's try it now.
I'm on a different phone. How's it?
Yeah, it's not your phone. It was our soundboard. We had to switch an input. Go ahead. What do you want to talk about?
Hey, I wanted to address something that I put in one of my communications to you that's been heavy on my heart here in the last month that I've been keeping in prayer.
Okay.
That is the use of the term that people, that Christians always use, which is God bless. God bless you. Or,
right.
Or you meet somebody and they say God bless. And in the last year, I have not used that. I use Jesus bless in all of my videos and on all of my communications, as you well know. And all of our supporters and those who communicate with me also know that I use it. And I've been using that for about going on 3, almost 4 years now. About 4 or 5 years ago, one of my mentors, Christian mentors, who was also a political advisor to me in Washington, D.C., he said, well, I can't use my name, but he said, you know, don't use God bless anymore because you're actually assisting the enemy in the United States to overthrow our Christian Republic, because the term God bless, you know, used to be a time, you know, before the 1960s or the 1950s, from that era back, when you said God bless, people understood that you were talking about the Christian Trinity,
right.
That you were talking about Jesus Christ. And today, when you say God bless, is it, you know, God the Hoodow, God the Satan, the Jewish God?
Well, you definitely see it in our national leaders. Oh, God bless America, or I believe in God, and they never say Jesus. George Bush, in the first few days of his term, said Jesus, and then he got slapped for it. And he went back to God, you know, Moloch, or whatever God it is he worships. They don't want him saying Jesus, you're right. And as a general practice, you know, we hear the church say, we are not ashamed of Jesus Christ, and we use it as much as possible. But if somebody sneezes, I'll still throw out a Gesundheit or a God bless. But when I'm making an official thing, you'll even hear it in the radio show, I'll say, we know God is, you know, God said this, our Lord Jesus Christ is our God, he's our commander. And you're right. And but these are public officials. It's just like, I akin that to how they keep saying we're a democracy. You know, oh, America's a democracy, and, you know, and all that. They keep changing the terms, and eventually it changes the definitions, which changes the meaning of where we really are in the global scheme of politics. And that's why they like to say God bless, because it doesn't offend anybody. It could be Allah. You know, it could be pawn scum for some pagan group. It doesn't matter. They do it to not offend. But the other side of that, they're offending Jesus Christ.
Well, the main group that's behind this is the Zionists, the Christian Zionists and the Marxists. And one of the reasons they started doing this back in the, you know, in the 60s and 70s when the whole, you know, God bless thing started to be subverted is if these people are amongst you, let's say at a dinner or at a function or whatever type of thing where there's large groups of people there, and they're giving a blessing or a prayer.
Mm-hmm.
These people, these satanic people, these anti-Christian hating people have come to understand that they can go before all of these Christians. They can stand up there and say God bless.
And get away with it.
When in fact, they're not saying Jesus bless or bless the Christian Trinity. They're actually saying, you know, bless the golden bowl or, you know, I'm being facetious here. Whatever their God is, they're blessing it and making the Christians think that they're blessing their God.
Yeah, it's undermining. It's facetious. It's terrible. We see the thing going on here in the Central Valley now, and it happened. I don't know. Is Rocky still in there? Exeter High School did away with the Christian prayer in their graduation. Now, I'm not a big fan of public schools, but I like what happened. It's like a huge majority of the kids stood up and started praying anyway. And they told that school board, that principal, you can make all the laws you want, but we're going to pray to Jesus Christ. And the valedictorian got up, and she said something like, you know, and I thank Jesus Christ, my Savior, for helping me get through, you know, school and all that. Infuriated the magistrates. It was all over the news. You know, we're not going to let these kids do it. And they did it anyway. So you're right. Even the public schools, you know, they take, and there's a big argument. There's God Bless America out of, or, you know, One Nation Under God out of the pledge. I know why it was put in there in the 1950s, I think it was. It should have said One Nation Under Jesus Christ, but they're taking everything out, you know, in God We Trust on the money they want to get rid of. But you're right. We don't know which God they're praying to. We don't even know which God, in these public events, you go to a baseball game or something, what's God? You know, it's a little g, and they just fill in whatever they want, you know.
Well, that's why I just put out, about a week ago, I put out a massive broadcast to all of the network within both our True Sons of Liberty and the Lifeguard networks. And I've asked them all that in any of your written communications, to start to replace God Bless with Jesus Bless. And when somebody writes to you, the other thing that I put in my letter is that if somebody writes a letter to you and they say at the bottom, God bless you, mm-hmm. I'm asking everybody who is a Christian to challenge that person and write back and say, what mean Jesus bless. Actually mm-hmm. confront them.
I always ask people. In fact, I've been doing it all day. It's funny that you bring that up. I'm talking to old high school buddies, and I'm saying, well, what God do you worship? I go, you're telling me that you're a God-fearing person, but you're not even understanding half of the verses I'm giving you and asking you your opinion. What God do you worship? And they don't even know. And they didn't even come into their concept, you know, the whole, you know, Jesus Christ, no king but King Jesus. That offends a lot of people. I put no king but King Jesus on most of my stuff, and people just like, oh, what do you mean by that? What is that supposed to be? So it's the official motto of the American Revolution. No, it isn't. You know, no taxation without representation. No.
And all of them use that. You know, George Washington on some of the most key battles of mm-hmm. the Revolution actually had rank and file prayers. I mean, the entire troop was filed rank and file. And did a prayer before they went into battle, a Christian prayer.
When you come into our church, that's one of the first things you see. You see Jesus kneeling by the Liberty Bell. I don't know who painted that. But they have one of Washington kneeling before his horse before a battle. And it's just great. He had some of the best Christian codes of conduct. He wouldn't even allow men in his army to swear. And anyone that mistreated a woman or stole or did anything like that from the civilian population was shot or hung. He had very strict conduct.
Our schools won't teach that anymore.
Nope.
Especially since he had standing orders that if you were found to be a homosexual,
yes.
there were standing orders that you were to either be shot on the spot, hung, or in some cases, if you were just part of the rabble, that they would tar and feather you.
Yeah.
They're not going to teach that today because the sodomites, the atheistic sodomites who control our schools today, you don't want that to be taught. But the founders of this, the greatest nation on earth, you know, made it very clear that sodomy and the sodomites were, something that had to be gotten rid of.
You know, there's so much about our history that they deny us. Glenn Beck, who I'm not a big fan of, but he did this great show on how many African Americans were involved in the American Revolution, and it was amazing. And they don't teach it in high schools, because if they did, it would really take power away from the black militants saying, oh, it's a white man's nation, when in fact we probably would have lost the war, or at least major battles, except for a few key black men that stood up and fought. The Battle of Breed's Hill, which most people call Bunker Hill, there was a black man there that fought for ferociously alongside other free men. There was a black man who worked as a spy in Benedict Arnold's house, and he got all the information out, and that way they were able to capture the
spy Dutch that actually turned the war for the
yeah.
If it hadn't been for his information, we probably would have lost.
Right.
In the famous picture of Washington crossing the
Delaware
in the boat.
Yeah.
You know, the two
black guys,
black officers that are standing right next to him.
And modern historians go, oh, we don't really believe they were officers. They just painted it that way to make people feel good. When it was painted, they didn't have these mores and this white guilt. They wouldn't have done that.
Well, it doesn't serve the agenda.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Marxist socialists are putting out to make the victimization agenda for the black people. Like, for you, you're a Southerner. And what a lot of people don't realize is that the South had two black officers.
Oh, they had a chaplain corps that was black.
The North had zero. All of the black troops in the North were all had white officers. There was that one single black officer.
And they were segregated in the North, and they were integrated in the South. Because they were given, you know, if you fight for the Confederacy, you fight, you know, you get your freedom. But also, there were free blacks that were sharecroppers and shop owners and stuff. People don't want to hear about that. That fought to protect their families on the side of the Confederacy. And if you go, it's really good. I went to Kearney Park this year in the city of Fresno, and they had two years ago, Civil War reenactment. And there were a bunch of black guys in Confederate uniform. And I went over and thanked them. And they're like, what? And I said, I know the historical accuracy of what you're doing, but you're going to catch a lot of heat from all the liberals, and they're going to be like, why are you a slave that was forced to fight? And they were like, no, my person is an actual person who lived. He was a sutler who had a store, and he decided to fight for the Confederacy because that's where his home was. And it was great to see, but that will never make it into the public cesspool system or even the colleges. You know, the truth of just the righteousness of this nation, you know, everybody wants to be made to feel guilty. If we feel guilty about how this nation was founded, we're a little more likely to allow it to change into something else. And that's what's happening. They're making us think that everything that our founding fathers did was dirty, disgusting, selfish, dirty old white men. You know, they write the books about how Jefferson fathered all these slave children. I don't know if it's true or not, but they focus more on that to debase and destroy the foundation of this nation. And when they rip Christianity out of it, which is, you know, what I'm basically talking about, how Christianity played a huge part in the founding of this nation. We are a Christian nation, and it was made for moral Christian people. That doesn't mean that foreigners can't come here, but they have to assimilate. That doesn't mean that, you know, we have to make everybody at all times bow to our Christian God, and that the state will enforce, you know, church services at certain times. No. We're not a theocracy. We're not like the Muslims. You know, it's not like in England where they have the Church of England. That was the whole point. They didn't want that. They wanted people to be free to choose. But that doesn't mean that we go swing the other way and not allow Christians to have any part in the very things that their Christian forefathers created for all of us to be free, even the non-Christians that are here.
But they never intended, Dutch, for our government to be separate from the people. You know, the people, you know, in 1954, Christians made up, I think it was 94 or 95% of the population in 1954 was Christian. Today, the recent poll that was done, it's about 77%.
Yeah, but did you see the questions?
Mormons.
Yeah, it was the way the questions were, I think that was the Time Magazine poll that I was looking at too. It was like, you know, do you go to church? Do you just, it wasn't really Christian. It was like, do you believe in religion? Do you go to an organized church? You know, that could be anything from, you know, like I say, people who worship the cathode ray tube to made up stuff. So I bet it's even lower than 70% now. People that regularly go and apply it, people who live and walk a Christian walk. And not all of us, you know, do it all the time. I know I fall short myself. But it's the time of, you know, people, like when you watch old Disney films, like Johnny Tremaine.
Oh, that's a great.
Remember how he gets injured? Because he's working on the Sabbath, and they're afraid because the town crier is going around to make sure everybody's in church. You know, the bell's ringing and that, and, you know, he ends up getting burned, you know, kind of a little twist there. But there was a time when they did force people to go to church, and they did have Sunday laws. Well, that was kind of loosened up a little bit, and look where it got us.
Yeah, well, the first thing that our Congress did, the very first session that they sat, what they did is they created the first English printed Bible in the United States, and that was done by an act of Congress, and it was actually done in the very first session when Congress met. And how many people don't even know that? That it's just amazing that.
Well, do you know that Thanksgiving is a Christian holiday, and people don't even celebrate it as that? There were several Thanksgivings in America. For some reason, they picked that pilgrim one. But George Washington, you know, we have won the war. We have thrown off the chains of tyranny. We want 30 days of prayer. And they used to do it. And recently, I've been seeing it again, like Georgia. A couple years ago, they had their drought. He called for like a 24 hours of prayer to get the rain to come, and it actually worked. And he was vilified in the media for doing voodoo and forcing people to believe his Christian way. He's like, if you don't want to pray, don't pray. But I'm asking all the Christians in Georgia to pray right now. Fasting. When's the last? I don't think since World War II we've had a national day of fasting.
Well, a lot of people don't realize that there was actually a couple of miracles that happened from prayers of George Washington.
Oh, there are lots,
that,
yeah.
From his crossing, people don't realize that he had made a prayer because the water was actually high. They couldn't actually cross.
Right.
And just as they got ready to cross, the water receded. It went down several feet. They crossed across, got to the other side. And just as they got the last man on the shore, the water rose. Not the 7 feet it had gone down, it rose some 20 feet, and the British troops could not even pursue them across.
And it was vicious with ice and everything. Now, here's another one, Valley Forge. We all know they were starving to death. He kept imploring them to stay, even though they couldn't be paid. What they don't teach you, and which is written in his journal, is that they prayed for food, and they woke up the next morning, and God delivered just bucketfuls of fish in the shallow water. They were using shovels to throw the fish out. They were just sitting there. It was like they gave themselves up for food. It was the next best thing to manna from heaven. They were just storing as much fish as they could and feeding everyone. They don't even talk about that in school anymore.
Grabbing them out by their hands. They were wading in and grabbing the fish out with their hands.
It was some, I can't remember if it was a mackerel or it was some fish that normally doesn't even spawn that time of year in the winter, just showed up and fed all the soldiers. And I mean, I could go into it for forever and forever, all the miracles during the Revolutionary War.
And there was a very big one that happened during the War of 1812 that is actually, I think, one of the most amazing journals of Christian miracles in the United States. When the British, when they were in the process of burning Washington, D.C., they had sent reinforcements, and they were actually going to seek their power in Washington.
Right.
They weren't just going to leave. When the new troops were coming in to Chesapeake Harbor, a freak tornado came out of a clear sky. There was no rain, there was no nothing, it was a totally clear sky. This is totally recorded in the history books. This tornado came down through, wiped out the ships that were in the harbor, and actually went right through the center of the British troops that were getting ready to go in and literally take over Washington, D.C., and wiped out so many of them that there was a general recall ordered, and they left.
You know, there was another one, and I've got to find it. I was looking through my books here. Before we were a nation, after 1640, sometime before, I think, 1720, there was an armada that was coming here. There was a big dispute between the British and the French, and since we were their colony, the French sent an armada to the colonies, and they were going to take it. And it was the people, they had no navy back then. They had no defense. England wasn't going to send anything. So these Frenchmen were going to come on shore and just slaughter these people in these little settlements. The governors called for days of prayer and fasting, and the fleet was destroyed at sea. And that, I mean, I heard about it in an off-comment remark by someone from Jamestown when I was there in the Army, and I looked it up, and it's true. It was, you know, you talk about the Spanish Armada being destroyed and all this God has handed them. Go ahead.
The French fleet was right within sight of safety of the harbor when this happened. They actually saw the ship destroyed from the land. That's how close they were when this blessing destroyed that fleet. So I believe, Dutch, without a doubt, we are a blessed Christian nation. The blessings that this nation has had are being removed by a cabal of satanic, anti-Christian people who have seeded into our government in the last 40, 50, 60 years in earnest. And
well,
I
hate to stop you there, but we're running out of time. We're up against the clock, and we want to do a nice, smooth transition. Thank you for calling, and I'll talk to you on the emails. Thank you, Commander General of the True Sons of Liberty, and I'll talk to you later. But we're winding up here. And I hope I hung that up right. Yeah, we turned down his volume. Well, that's it. That's what we're talking about here. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns in heaven above. And if it wasn't for our Lord Jesus Christ, this nation wouldn't be here. And we've got to remember that. And we've got to bow and pray back for all the things this nation's doing. We just got to intercede. Imprecatory prayer, people. Look it up. Imprecatory prayer. Pray against our enemies. I am Dutch Jones. The battle is hard. The sword is heavy. But victory belongs to the Lord alone, and may the Lord bless you. May Jesus Christ, our Lord, our King, bless you in all you do in the holy cause of liberty. We'll be back. It's tomorrow Friday. We will be back tomorrow. Thanks for our caller. We appreciate that.